Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Talking all things SEC football with our good friend Barrett Salee. He is the host of College Football Smothered and Covered. Also a host of the Braves Report, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a columnist. I'm outkicking again. I was going to say, Barrett, I know you're in a chipper mood. I'm a Braves fan. Many of our audience are Braves fans as well. A couple big wins over the Boston Red Sox, much needed after a tough road trip. I've been tuning into your Braves reports. You're doing
a phenomenal job,
man, across the board. So welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. And yeah, the Braves report from AJC, we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's been fun, you know, having the ability to go down and talk to those guys and get one-on-ones in the clubhouse and try to bring Braves fans as much interesting and appropriate content because we're talking to Ken Segura on Friday's show. Not a lot of people can actually watch the Braves right now because of a stupid TV dispute. So we break that down. We're going to break that down as well. But yeah, College Football Smothered and Covered. It's been fun, man. We've had Shane Beamer on the show, Rhett Lashley, Barry Odom. You know, we've had a lot of guys on the show, Neil Brown. So it's been fun. Go check it out.
Yeah, check him out across YouTube, social media, podcasts, everywhere you get your content. Barrett, let's dive right into it. I want to first start the thing that is sort of, and of course, it is the quote-unquote offseason, if you will. So a story like this takes off. Comments from both Brian Kelly and Hugh Freeze over the last couple of days regarding NIL. You know, they're not going to pay players. They're not going to buy players, I should say. Hugh Freeze explaining why they didn't go get a quarterback, don't want to pay $1 million for a guy. So these are two very different comments. But your thoughts over the last couple of days of a pair of notable SEC head coaches sort of opening up about the NIL landscape that currently sits in college football?
Yeah, you know, I think I kind of expected this because we're 2 years, well, we've been in the NIL era for, what, 3 or 4 now, but, you know, it's really kind of formed into what are collectives that are payment plans, right? They're it's what it is. So, you know, because it's evolved in this way, you know, I kind of expected coaches to address it more directly. So what's happened the last couple of days with Brian Kelly and Gus Malzahn and even up there at Boise State, I kind of expected some of this stuff. And, you know, you mentioned Brian Kelly and Gus Malzahn. Those are really the same conversations, or at least like kind of related. They're under the same umbrella. And, you know, Brian Kelly is getting ripped, while Gus Malzahn is kind of like, everyone's kind of like, well, okay. You know, and basically they're both trying to say the same thing, is that, you know, the NIL process, it's created a financial structure, and there are quarterbacks that cost X, there are quarterbacks that cost Y. And, you know, I think in Gus's case, okay, is there anybody out there who's better than Peyton Thorne that would cost maybe a little more? It depends on the scouting department, right? I don't think Peyton Thorne's very good, but they might like him enough to keep him around for the price that he is. So, you know, it's what he said is essentially what Brian Kelly said. I just don't think Brian Kelly worded it correctly, but this is also the same guy who said family. So it's not like he has a firm grasp on the English language, or at least as much as Hugh Freeze does.
Yeah, Barrett, I think you make a great point too. And I think these guys are kind of, you could say they're saying the quiet part out loud, but it's almost what they're not saying, that it's not that they're saying they're not bought in on the NIL game, because both these schools are spending, right? It's that you're not going to overpay for guys who are not worth it. And I think that's something they can't say. And if they could, they would. It's like, if you saw the price tags on X player, you'd understand why we didn't add that guy from.
Yeah. And Hugh Freeze basically tiptoed to that line.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, look, I've known Hugh for a long time, and that is something that he is okay doing. You know, this is the same guy that said, if you have any issues or know any problems that we've done in cheating, then call the or email the compliance office, you know, and that was stupid, obviously, but he, I think willingly will kind of step forward a little bit and kind of be out front, which is fine. And yeah, saying the quiet part out loud is something that I think helps us understand. Like, a lot of us know these things, but we want to hear coaches say it, and they did. And, you know, I'm fine with that. We can't sit here as outsiders and say, oh, we want to know what's going on, and then get all pissed when we find out what's going on. Right. And like, you can't have it both ways.
Barrett, let's move to, again, off-season storylines. Gambling odds have officially come out to make the 2024 college football playoff. Since we're talking about Auburn, let's stick with them, because I think this is a team, year two of Hugh Freeze. You mentioned Peyton Thorne at quarterback. I'm not high on Peyton Thorne either, but he's going to have weapons around him. We all know the Cam Coleman stuff. Auburn is plus 700 to make the playoff. It's minus 1,400 if you want to bet on them to not make it. Your thoughts on the Auburn Tigers, what they'll be this year, and do you think there's some value in the plus 700 number? Because it feels like 9 wins or more will give you a really good shot to get there.
No, there's not value there, because you already have 2 losses, you know, Georgia and Alabama. And then you're asking Auburn with Peyton Thorne at running back. I think you'll probably need 10 wins and not 9. But okay, even if it's 9. They're gonna win basically every other game, and maybe have one where you slip up. I don't think so. Not with Peyton Thorne at quarterback. So not making the playoff, I think, is the safe play there. We know Auburn, you know, generally speaking, when people aren't expecting a lot from them is when they have their ultimate success. And to an extent, that is, there's some validity to that historically. But I think when the schedule comes out, right, everyone's always like, oh my God, X has to go through this gauntlet, or oh my God, I can't believe, you know, team Y is, you know, has to do this. And both of those could be Florida this year, because Florida's, you know, absolutely brutal. But, you know, every schedule is basically the same, right? Like, from a difficulty standpoint, yeah, we're going to vote on the easiest, which you could say was Arkansas or whatever, A&M, like whatever, doesn't matter. But there's still gauntlets. But Auburn having Georgia and Alabama and then being what they are with Peyton Thorne, I don't see it. He does have weapons around him. That's true. But I think with the offensive line, they have to take a step forward, a pretty significant step forward. And I just don't see how that's possible, even with the moves they've made this offseason.
Barrett, you just released your post-spring top 25. You broke that down on College Football Smothered and Covered. I want to talk about that as well. I love, by the way, how you also include, I hate your team. Just so folks know, hey, I hate your team. Let's go ahead and get that out there, right?
Even Georgia, which I have number one, you know, they're not higher than one. So,
yeah. Is there something higher than one? Let's start, though, Barrett, at the other end, because I think what's fascinating, Texas A&M at number 25. What do you make of the amount of hype that A&M is getting this year? Going into year one of a head coach, over-under win total is 8.5. We had way too early spreads come out. I think they were favored in 6 of those 7 big game spreads, which is essentially telling you they're going to be favored in like 9 or maybe 10 games. I mean, are we putting too much hype on Texas A&M again?
No, we're not, because someone's got to be ranked 25. Someone's got to be ranked 23, right? A&M being at the back end of a top 25, I'm okay with, if you're sort of judging it based on what they have, right? Connor Wegman could be a superstar. I've talked to a lot of scouts, and they really like him. If he's healthy, dude can play. They've got good wide receivers. I think they've got the right coach who's hard-nosed, but is going to tailor his offense to his players rather than try to force his offense onto his players. That said, Mike Elko has only done this for a couple of years. What does that mean? Well, it means you can probably go 8-4 in the SEC. All right. And if you go 8-4 in the SEC, you're a pretty good team. You're a back end top 25, maybe others receiving votes, top 26 team. And so I think the upside for me at number 25 for Texas A&M, I'm betting on them winning more toss-up games than they lose. And that's really it, right? I think they're going to lose to Notre Dame. They're going to lose a couple SEC games. They're probably going to lose one toss-up game. But I think their upside, because of what they could be offensively, is more than enough to not be that team that loses for no reason whatsoever. And so having them at 25, why not? You know, it's crazy, before the season and even during the season, we always have this, oh, so-and-so so overrated. I can't believe you're putting a team that's 6-2 in the top 20. I'm like, well, bro, they're 6-2. Like, someone's got to be there, right? So A&M at 25, I don't think we're overhyping them. You know, I think you're just sort of betting on the upside and thinking, and my thinking anyway, is that, yeah, most toss-up games are probably going to win. They might drop one, but, you know, that's okay.
You mentioned that Notre Dame game, Barrett. I don't know if you saw, but A&M a 2-point favorite opening in that.
That's
Were you surprised
crazy.
To see that? Were
that's you surprised? Crazy. Yeah. that's a little nuts. You know, game one, I get there'll be a lot of excitement. But with Notre, I think everyone's like focusing on the quarterback, like Riley Leonard, he's hurt, blah, blah, blah. And like, y'all, they still win the line of scrimmage all the friggin' time. And Notre Dame's perfect example of one of those teams. Oh, Notre Dame's overrated every single year. Well, you go back and look at the AP top 25 preseason to where they end, they're pretty much in the same ballpark every single year. So, you know, I know there's probably a reason, because it's because of the quarterback. Well, it's not like Connor Wegman's always healthy, right? So to me, I mean, yeah, that's a little nuts. I guess to me, that's probably putting more faith in Kyle Field than maybe it deserves. Mm-hmm. Now, Kyle Field's still hard. I get it. It's tough, but Notre Dame's not going to be scared of anything like that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Barrett, let's go from 10 to 20. You got three SEC teams there, LSU at 12, Tennessee at 16, and Missouri at number 17. I was kind of surprised to see LSU ahead of the other two from the standpoint of I just don't know what LSU is going to be defensively. And all I hear them talk about is they don't have any defensive tackles, and the secondary is still a question. I know they have Blake Baker now. What separated LSU for you? Was it the belief in the offensive side? Did it have anything else to do with maybe the improvements they made on the defensive side with transfer portal guys, what they've got back on the offensive line? Like, what made the LSU pick a couple spots ahead? Again, I know the top 25 is an imperfect science. I'm not asking you to go into formulas or anything, but what do you like about LSU versus the other two, Tennessee and Missouri, that maybe they have a little bit more to prove in your mind?
Well, first things first, trust in Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly is a phenomenal coach, and he does not get the credit that he deserves. I really think that he is a top five coach. And the other thing is that they cannot be worse defensively. Like they can't. I mean, I think it's impossible. If they were to go out, the only way they would be worse is if they just went out without a defensive line, just didn't bother putting a defensive line out there. So, and Blake Baker's, you know, I think a significant upgrade, obviously. But those two things really drive home what I think of them. And they can still run the football. And I think Garrett Nussmeier is well above average. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but he's definitely above average in terms of quarterbacks in the SEC right now. You're going to have to tailor the offense in a way different way, and losing the offensive coordinator certainly is a problem. But we know every single year Brian Kelly finds a way to at least make it work enough to be competitive, to be a 9-3, a 10-2 type team. And I don't think this year is any different. But the main reasons are new defensive coordinator, and the defense can't be any worse, and then trust in Brian Kelly.
So, Barrett, if things finished how you have them in your top 25, LSU would be right there on the edge getting in the college football playoff. Of Tennessee and Mizzou, which of those two would you say is most likely to rise up the rankings and make a 12-team playoff?
See, there's so many spots that have to be filled by other teams.
Different variables, because of schedules and things like that. So,
and other, like, there's got to be a group of five, and I have a group of five on now. It's, you know, it's like, okay, probably Tennessee. All right. Because I think Nico has a lot of upside. I don't think this is a Joe Milton situation where Tennessee fans got all crazy hyped about Joe Milton for no freaking reason whatsoever. I think Nico has a lot of upside. Good, decent to good wide receiving core, system that works, system that fits. It's been successful. And on top of that, what is Missouri going to be when they're not? I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to run the football as effectively. All right. So is Brady Cook going to be as effective? Is Luther Burden going to be as effective? I mean, they're great players, but they need a little bit of help. And I don't see how or that happening right now, right? I think there's more reason to be excited from where Tennessee was last year to where they are now, to where they could be, as opposed to Missouri, where they were last year at the end of the season and where I think they could be now. So they're going in different directions, but not big steps, right? It's a little step back for Missouri, little step forward for Tennessee, and I trust that Josh Heupel, I love Eli too, but I trust that Josh Heupel will take what he has and build upon that. And I think Nico is certainly capable of being, I wouldn't say a superstar, but maybe what Brady Cook was last year. Pleasant surprise to a point where, yeah, he's leading his team to a New Year's Six game.
Barrett, at the top of your rankings, Georgia's at number one, Ohio State number two. Those two teams, I feel like, are the two we've been talking about and hearing about over the last couple months. Who's got the more talented roster in college football? There's some debate there. How close was it for you between Georgia and Ohio State, one and two, and what gave the Dogs the nod as being the number one team in college football coming into the 2024 season?
Well, I kind of broke this down on Smothered and Covered about Ohio State. It's the fact that they've got players everywhere, right? It's not just the fact that they had players come back. It's that they added a Kalen Downs, they added Quinshon Judkins. And I would have put Ohio State at number one had there not been a marriage between Ryan Day and Will Howard. I still think Ryan Day will figure out that Will Howard can't lead them to a national championship sooner rather than later. And it might happen in fall camp. You know, to me, in a perfect world, if Ohio State's going to come out hot and run the table and get to the playoff and win a national championship, at some point, Will Howard's got to be benched. To me, I think that he should be what Tyler Buchner was last year, a player who Nick Saban recruited because I just don't want anybody else to have him because he's good enough. Right. I think that should be the case with Ohio State. And if it is, if it's, you know, Julian Sayin or Devin or Aaron Nolan or whatever, taking the snaps, then I think Ohio State would be better. And I think Ohio State would be number one. We just don't know that yet. But what we do know is they've got players coming back with motivation on their mind. Right. They could go make millions. They decided to come back, a lot of them. And what have we seen in the past from teams like that? Clemson in 2018 with that Christian Wilkins crew, that defensive front, they won the national championship. Georgia in 2021, when Jordan Davis and that crew could have gone, they came back, they won the national championship. And Florida State before last season, Jared Verse and that crew could have gone to the NFL. They came back, they went undefeated, they did everything that anybody asked them to do. I know they didn't make the playoff, but that doesn't matter. They did what everybody asked them to do. And Ohio State kind of has a little bit of that with them this year, but Georgia, to me, I mean, you're going to have them number one or number two, and it's going to be close between Georgia and Ohio State. And, you know, Carson Beck is a Heisman front runner, if not the favorite for a reason. I think got a more versatile wide receiving core. I love Ladd McConkey. I know his absence is going to hurt, but you know, they've got a little bit more versatility there. I think that I'm not as hyped on Trevor Etienne as others, but Georgia always has that three or four deep running back core that they use effectively. And then defensively, you know, they are what they are. We know what they're capable of. So Georgia, more complete team than Ohio State in my mind. But that's because right as of now, I think Ryan Day probably thinks that Will Howard is a starting quarterback.
Barrett, then the rest that you have in the top 10, Texas at three, Ole Miss at four, Alabama at seven. Talk about those three, and I'm curious, which of those three do you have the most faith in that if there's going to be anybody that upends Georgia in the SEC, which of those three do you think it could be?
I think it would be Texas because, you know, elite quarterback, like we talked about with Carson Beck. If he's not the Heisman favorite, it's because Quinn Ewers, and you can look at different books and, you know, you can find him there. On top of that, Sark has built that team, and we saw this against Texas, and we saw this really all year last year. And we saw this against Alabama, saw this all year last year. They win the line of scrimmage on both sides. They've been built and constructed like an SEC team for multiple years now. And so I think they can go toe-to-toe with Georgia from a roster standpoint, from a depth standpoint, or from a scheme standpoint. So I would say that it's Texas. And I would say it's Alabama or Ole Miss before Alabama because anybody who has a definitive opinion of what Alabama will be is lying to you because, you know, you lose the best coach of all time, right? Mm-hmm. When has that happened before? Well, when Bear Bryant retired back in what, 1982? You know, like the game's changed a little bit since then. But what I do know is Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin have a pretty good grasp on the idea and the philosophy of you win with offense and play just enough defense. And I think with what they got through the transfer portal and the fact that they've kind of been able to win the battle in terms of chaos factor in the offensive backfield when they're on defense, you know, helps a lot. Plus they've got a little bit of that hashtag unfinished business thing as well with, you know, Jackson and the wide receivers and, you know, all that. So, yeah, I think Ole Miss is pretty dangerous this year. You know, Alabama could be, but like I said, like if anybody gives you a definitive answer on what Alabama will be, then they're lying to you.
Barrett, sticking with the Crimson Tide, what has to happen for Alabama to finish at 7 or higher in your rankings?
Better offensive line play. You know, I think Jalen was dead last in sack to pressure ratio last year. And it's like, you look at the chart and it's like everybody in college football is over here. And then Jalen Milroe's in it. You know, so better offensive line play. We saw that manifest itself in the Rose Bowl when he could not get a clean snap at all. And he's been a one read and bail kind of guy and he holds the ball too long. But you know, those things, a lot of those things can be rectified if he had a decent offensive line. All of them can be rectified if they have a decent offensive line. And, you know, we saw Washington win the Joe Moore Award last year. They got exposed a little bit in the playoff. But, you know, Alabama's offensive line the last 3 years of Nick Saban was bad. And so if that can take a small step forward, they've got the playmakers. They've got dudes all over the place. They've got a quarterback who clearly can complete passes deep downfield. That's what Kalen likes to do, but he's got to find a little more time for his quarterback because a little will go a long way.
Barrett Salee, Barrett, last thing before we get you out of here, can the Braves win the World Series without Spencer Strider?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, if you were to tell me that Acuna's been bad, Matt Olson's batting 200, Austin Riley's been average to slightly below average this year, that Sean Murphy has not played, that Michael Harris would go through an 0 for May drought for the first 10 days of May, and they still have one of the best records in baseball, I think they'll be just fine. Because if just one of those bats gets going, all hell's going to break loose in the league, and we know that it's not going to be just one. It's going to be a lot of them, and it's going to be a lot of them at the same time.
Barrett Salee does a fantastic job. Barrett, let the folks know where they can check out all your work from College Football, Smothered and Covered, The Braves Report, Outkick. Let everybody know where they can go to find all your work.
Yeah, College Football, Smothered and Covered on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, all that stuff, video or audio. You can find it basically anywhere you can. And look, if you're watching or listening to this show, you know how to do the podcast thing. So tell your friends, tell your neighbor, like, because they might not know. Braves Report from the AJC, Apple, Spotify, all that stuff. New episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Clubhouse conversations, too. Like, I go down to the clubhouse. We have conversations with players. So I don't know any other podcast out there that covers the Braves that does that. Writing on Outkick and then SiriusXM Sunday mornings, 9 to noon Eastern, and then wherever else they need me. And it's technically football season, I guess, now. So there will be a lot of football talk, that's for sure.
Barrett, you're the man. Appreciate you taking the time. Let's definitely do it again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.